News Team coverage. 94.9 WSJM News Now.
Brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan. Serving Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. He's a long shot, but South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg is seeking the Democratic nomination for president in 2020. He released a video on Twitter this morning and then spoke to reporters about what lies ahead. The mayor says the Democratic Party needs to be challenged to think differently.
There's a lot of talk about how Democrats are somehow unable to fit our message on a bumper sticker. To me, the bumper sticker is pretty straightforward. It's freedom, democracy, and security. We've got to get back into the business of talking about freedom.
The two-term mayor is a Navy Reserve lieutenant who served in the Afghanistan War and is a Rhodes Scholar. He was reelected mayor of South Bend in 2015 with 80% of the votes. Buttigieg says day one of announcing an exploratory committee isn't when he'll reveal all of his ideas, but he adds those three will form the pillars of his campaign. One person is dead and two others hospitalized in South Bend after a three-car head-on crash in Cass County's Milton Township. According to the Sheriff's Department, 52-year-old Joseph Johnson of Niles died at the scene. He was a passenger in a car driven by 31-year-old Ryan Koth of Niles that crossed over into oncoming traffic on US 12 just before 6 p.m. yesterday. Koth was, and one of the other drivers, 26-year-old Victoria Mallard of South Bend, were rushed by ambulance to South Bend Memorial Hospital. The cause of the crash is still under investigation, but it did happen after freezing rain started causing plenty of problems on the roads throughout Southwest Michigan. The city of Benton Harbor has to make some improvements to its water plant as part of a new agreement with the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. At this week's City Commission meeting, the relocation of an aluminum sulfate line at the plant was approved following a DEQ order. The work is needed to help maintain water quality, and it comes with a price tag of $10,900. Mayor Marcus Muhammad said the project comes as part of a consent agreement with the DEQ regarding the water plant.
Because there is a consent agreement that we will be coming under where we have to do certain things. And this is one that cannot be kicked out. This has to be done.
Muhammad said other improvements to the water plant will be needed because of that agreement.
Some of them are related to, I think the manager mentioned that the plant was built in 1954. So certain regulations, certain things have to be updated.
Muhammad said that, along with problems that arose due to a lack of staff during the emergency management years, have led to some issues that need to be addressed. He said the DEQ agreement is separate from the elevated lead levels discovered in some homes late last year. Meanwhile, the city of Benton Harbor's new income tax is being implemented. City Manager Darwin Watson tells us businesses in the city have been taking out the tax for affected workers, while those who will need to submit forms to pay the tax themselves will have to pay this spring.
We're collecting the withholdings, which is by law. We do in advance of the actual filing, which will happen, has to happen by April 30th of this year.
Watson said many taxpayers won't know how much they owe until after they file their federal income taxes.
We don't know what that number will be until after we go through the whole mechanics of doing the filings and the enforcement and the compliance that goes along with it. Then we'll have a more solid number.
Watson says it's not yet known how much extra revenue the tax will mean for the city until all that is done by the end of April. He says some of what people have paid will have to be refunded to them due to various deductions and so forth. The tax is 1% for city residents and 0.5% for non-residents working in the city. Watson says getting everything in place for it is a major undertaking for staff, but they're getting there. This week's audit report showed the city's fund balance up more than $800,000 this year because of the money so far withheld by employers. A congressional PFAS task force is being launched. Congressman Dan Kildee of Flint is behind it due to the problems with a suspected carcinogen contaminating wells in the state, along with the entire cities of Parchment's drinking water system in Kalamazoo County last year.
One of the bills that I've introduced with Congressman Jack Bergman, my Republican colleague from Northern Michigan, would be to ask the United States Geological Survey to locate all of the potential sites for PFAS contamination so that we can get a handle on exactly how extensive the problem is.
Kildee says one of the missions of the task force will be to address cleanup efforts. He says they have to clean it up to keep it from getting into the environment. Kildee says all the health risks from PFAS aren't yet known. Meanwhile, legislation designed to ensure the cleanup of PFAS being pushed by Congressman Fred Upton. He's introduced a plan to require the EPA to report releases into the environment and clean up tainted PFAS sites, with fellow Michigan representatives Debbie Dingell and Dan Kildee. Upton tells us it's become clear that more action needs to be taken on the chemical since it was found in the water supplies multiple communities this year.
This is a real issue. It's gotten into our water systems, and we want to make sure that we provide the help to those residents that really use that water source that we know should not be allowed.
The legislation would classify PFAS as a hazardous substance under the federal Superfund law requiring EPA action. Upton says a press conference to announce more was being planned. And as St. Joseph Today prepares to hold the first March Mannequins event downtown, it's asking residents to submit photos that could be displayed in storefronts that day. St. Joe Today tells us the theme for this year's March Mannequins will be awkward family photos. If you have any, they can be submitted at the Welcome Center on State Street in downtown St. Joe or emailed to info@stjoetoday.com. The top three entries will win a $25 St. Joe Today gift certificate. The deadline is February 1st. The March 2nd March Mannequins event replaces the old Live Mannequins event that used to be held as part of Light Up the Bluff each winter. It was moved to try to draw more people downtown during the normally slow spring. WSJM News Now continues with your Hilliard Lyons report.
This is Dan Norton with Hilliard Lyons bringing you the market recap and closing stock prices for Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. U.S. stocks shrugged off a midday sell-off to finish mostly higher on Wednesday, as investors wait a round of solid corporate earnings with ongoing uncertainty surrounding the U.S.-China trade talks. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was the best-performing major index, up 0.7% to 24,575, aided by solid earnings from IBM and Procter & Gamble. The S&P 500 finished up 0.2% to 2,639, while the NASDAQ Composite Index was up less than 0.1% to 7,025. Some stocks of local interest: American Electric Power was up 63 cents to $77.01. JP Morgan Chase was down 26 cents to $102.68. IBM was up $10.37 to $132.89. Apple was up 20 cents to $153.89. Fifth Third Bank was down 31 cents to $27.26. Stryker was down 10 cents to $165.78. And Whirlpool Corporation was down $6.39 to $119.83. This is Dan Norton with Hilliard Lyons, where we take a team approach to your investment needs. We are located at 2900 South State Street in St. Joseph.
WSJM News Now continues. President Trump is now backing Venezuela's opposition government as it tries to overthrow that country's president. ABC's Andy Field explains.
While thousands protest the current Venezuelan President Maduro, President Trump proclaiming his support for the opposition lawmakers, reporters asking the president if he's willing to back that up with military action.
We're not considering anything, but all options are on the table.
The Venezuelan president now cutting off relations with the U.S., ordering American diplomats there to leave. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
The president's former personal attorney is asked to postpone his February 7th appearance in front of Congress. President Trump reacted to the news when asked by reporters at the White House today. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
Citing threats to his family from President Trump and Rudy Giuliani, Michael Cohen sought to indefinitely postpone his testimony before a House committee that had been scheduled for February 7th. At the White House, President Trump said he has not threatened his former attorney.
Well, I would say he's been threatened by the truth. He's only been threatened by the truth.
The Democratic chairman of several House committees expressed sympathy for Cohen's fears, but said not appearing before Congress was never an option. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Washington.
She says that she can still make the offer, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has pulled her invitation for President Trump to make the State of the Union address next Tuesday. Here's Karen Travers at the White House.
President Trump reacting to the news that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will not allow him to deliver the State of the Union next Tuesday if the government is not reopened. The president had sent Speaker Pelosi a letter earlier Thursday saying he looked forward to seeing her next Tuesday and it would be sad for the country if the State of the Union didn't go forward as scheduled in the House chamber. Pelosi responded a few hours later, saying she looks forward to welcoming the president to the House on a, quote, mutually agreeable date when the government's open. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
The Senate expected to vote on competing measures tomorrow aimed at ending the government shutdown. Here's ABC's Allie Rogan with more from Capitol Hill.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said his Democratic counterpart Chuck Schumer was being unreasonable. Schumer has said the president's latest offer of temporary protections for some immigrants in exchange for border wall funding is unworkable. But McConnell said Schumer is also complaining about not being consulted on the plan.
My friend across the aisle is attempting quite the two-step.
The Senate will vote tomorrow on Trump's proposal, as well as a Democratic offer to reopen the government for 2 weeks. Both are expected to fail. Allie Rogan, ABC News, Capitol Hill.
A nurse accused of raping an incapacitated woman who later gave birth at an Arizona care facility is being released from jail on bond. Nathan Sutherland made an initial court appearance today, hours after his arrest was announced by Phoenix police. He did not enter a plea. A Maricopa County Superior Court commissioner ordered him released on a cash-only $500,000 bond. Sutherland must also wear an electronic monitoring device. It was the first day back at class for 30,000 Los Angeles teachers and many of LA's 600,000 public school students who skipped classes during a week-long teacher strike. It ended last night. ABC's Alex Stone has more on the first day back.
It was a joyous return for some students who arrived to find their teachers back in the classroom.
Going to school!
And for teachers, they say it feels good to be back.
To welcome all back to school, the teachers fought hard for them and for us, and you know, it's just really nice to see them all back with smiling faces.
The teachers and the LA Unified School District agreed on a new contract offering higher pay, smaller classes, and nurses on every campus. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
In many states, victims of child sex abuse have been lobbying for years to change the statute of limitation laws that thwart their quest for justice. The Associated Press reports this year seems sure to produce some breakthroughs due to midterm election results and disclosures about abuse by Catholic priests. In New York, the Democratic takeover of the state Senate seems almost certain to produce a more victim-friendly law. Prospects are considered good for similar changes elsewhere. And the streaming wars are on. ABC's Jason Nathanson says one outlet is dropping and also raising prices. He explains more.
Is this what freedom looks like?
It'll cost you less to watch the new season of The Handmaid's Tale and other Hulu shows. Hulu dropping the price of its basic streaming service, where you have to watch ads, from $8 a month to $6. The $12 ad-free option will stay the same price. But the price of Hulu's live TV bundle, which gives you cable channels and more, is going up from $40 to $45 a month. That'll make it more expensive than similar offerings from YouTube and DirecTV. The move follows recent price hikes from Netflix. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
WSJM News Now continues with your weather forecast, brought to you by ArtFX in Bridgman. Eye-catching vehicle wraps, custom signs, logos, and apparel. ArtFXSign.com. They're more than just a sign shop.